Today on the Little Dum Dum Club, a brand new episode recorded live in Adelaide with guests Tom Ballard, Nazim Hussain and Dave Thornton. And hey, if you listen to this, all these people in a room having a fun old time and you think, God damn it, I wish that could be me and I live in Melbourne. Well, have we got news for you. Wow. You can come and see us do this four times in a row.
Doing it again four times. March 30, April 7, 14.
6, fuck. 13. 20.
Okay. And the supplementaries are 69.
6, 13, 20 sounds like it should be a number for like a, you know, like Lube Mobile or Pizza Hut, how those are like seared in people's brains.
Yes.
But give us a call on the Dum Dum hotline, 6, 13, 20.
The Lube Mobile and the Pizza Hut are turning up the same time. You're going to lube up your ass to stick a capricciosa right up there.
A Vaseline flavoured pizza. Come check us out at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And then, of course, in Koh Samui as part of the Koh Samui International Podcast Festival.
Not the complete entirety.
Well, normally
of it.
We do our shows over there, sort of outside of the festival, yes. And we just try and poach all their guests. But this year we've registered. We're in the guide.
Yep. Fuck, that's a good idea. Let's make a guide.
No. LittleDumDumClub.com. Enjoy this new episode live from Adelaide with Tom Ballard, Dave Thornton, and allegedly Nazim Hussain. Welcome once again into the Little Dum Dum Club for another week. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dassler, and with me as always the other half of the program, Carl Chandler.
G'day, dickheads. You did it, you magnificent bastards. You bought tickets before the day of the gig.
Yes.
We tricked you, you dumb cunts. I said to Tommy, I'm like, we're making it the 700th episode. I don't care what episode we're up to. We're making it a birthday episode because I know people love fucking birthdays. Now that I know how to trick you, next year we're doing the 1,000th episode here.
Yeah.
Every year.
It's our special anniversary, episode 823. Get down. It's a night to celebrate. Guys, thank you very much for coming out. We are, of course, here at the Adelaide Fringe. You guys, if you've seen shows here before, you will know Adelaide is traditionally a testing ground for Melbourne comedians to come over and work their shows out before they get to Melbourne. So welcome to our trial show for the worst of Melbourne comedy. just wanted to really work out the kinks before play in one of the major markets, no offence.
Yeah. Just
in case, episode 700. Yeah.
In case we do anything funny tonight, we'll get rid of that for Melbourne. So yeah.
I don't think we can use any of this so far. It's
oh, you think this is good? Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, this is all right. Guys, some of you may know when you turn 100 years old, you, of course, get a letter from the Queen, and podcasts are no exception. When you turn 700 episodes, you get a letter from Comedy Royalty.
Oh, do we?
And,
okay,
It's just come through in celebration of this. Do you want me to read this out?
I'd rather not.
Dear Tommy and Carl, congratulations on reaching 700 episodes, and even more prestigiously, selling more than 23 tickets to a show in Adelaide.
Wow, yeah.
It feels like only yesterday that I was listening to episode number one. Nick Cody was a guest, there were jokes about Tommy sounding like a girl, and Carl had just gone to Thailand. Crazy how far you've come in 699 episodes. I don't really know what else to say. I haven't had to write too many of these because there are very few other podcasts that are pathetic and unemployable enough to reach 700 episodes. Here's to another 700 episodes of great content with special guests and another 700 hours of talking dum-dum that 90% of listeners will skip. Your best wishes, Mr. Comedy, brackets, from before. Wow. Exciting stuff.
That's great. Now, exciting to do the 700th episode here in Adelaide. Obviously, you know, you don't have the Grand Prix, but you got this. Is that something? It's because of the bidding process. Because of the bidding process, obviously, Melbourne won the bid and passed on to us to here. They didn't want it.
Okay, yep.
Yeah.
I was trying to work something out about, like, lots of people jetting into Sydney for the Taylor Swift gigs and lots of people jetting into Adelaide for the 700th Dum Dum episode, but I couldn't think of a word for you people that rhymed with Swifty. Forklifty was the closest I could get, and I thought it's just
not this is awesome for people at home. The place is chocker, so I appreciate that, guys. You actually did really... fucking buy tickets like a month out or something crazy. That's awesome. So it's like genuinely a full room, but I have to say, still not as many tickets as we've sold to Koh Samui, which means that people would rather fly 9.5 hours to a different country
than leave their house in Adelaide to go to a show.
Peary Street, yuck.
Awesome. What should I do?
Well, we've got we are, of course, this is what is very exciting is that we're here on the eve of something that we talked about a few months ago. There's speaking of the worst of Melbourne comedy, there's an Adelaide comedy gig on that we're fascinated by.
Yes.
That is on if any of you heard us talk about it, Chuckles Comedy. It's on at 6 PM this evening. Yeah. I believe it's just around the corner with a great lineup. Featuring acts like Blinky Joe.
He's back.
Nick Gooch.
Yep, he's back.
Dusty Ballsack.
Oh, that's new.
Shark Boy.
That's new.
And, of course, Strange Carl.
Yes.
These people...
If I go down there at 6 o'clock, can I get on a Stranger Carl?
Starts at 6 o'clock, kicks off then at Wakanda Place, and... I think we should hold the after party down there.
No, but we've been invited to get on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
well,
we might...
Because we've got to bank some eps and other things, and so...
and it's a stand-up gig.
It's a stand-up gig.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you and I should try and close the show doing a spot where we just do this week's Talkin' Dum Dum.
Yeah. Just a tight five.
Tight five. Just do five.
Just do five this
week. Just do five. Just so, guys, if you want to come down and watch us do Talkin' Dum Dum at Chuckles Comedy, hopefully we can get on, we can drop in. Maybe we can bump Shark Boy off the lineup if the show's running late. But, I think we should be able to make that happen.
Great. So... and also because we're in Adelaide, should I do this or should we do the other thing first?
Your choice.
All right, let's do this. I love coming to Adelaide because it's a good chance to get stuck into the Adelaide Burger Lovers Facebook group. So, so that was me on the plane this morning. So I get in here and this is my 2024 foray into the group. Adelaide Burger Lovers group. Hi all, Big Burger Head here. I've never been to Adelaide before, but I've just landed and just have a few tiny questions for you guys in here. Some of them may be obvious ones, so apologies in advance. I'm from Melbourne, so I'm only used to ordering burgers in cities. Today is the first day I'll be ordering one in a town.
This is making me angry and I'm not even from... I feel my fingers firing up. This motherfucker.
Is there much difference? What are rural burgers like? Do you have onions over here? Or should I have brought my own? What is the most Melbourne type of burger restaurant you have? I think I would be more comfortable in one of those. Please recommend anything with an indoor toilet, serviettes or FPOS.
Imagine being the man who sat next to Carl on the flight watching him type this out.
Are there any language barriers here? I don't want to sound silly or disrespectful in one of your restaurants. What do you call chips? Also, I know you have a different time zone to Melbourne. Will this affect how long I have to wait for my burger?
It's a good question.
Also, this will be a good opportunity for any burgeoning local burger restaurant because if... the restaurant I choose even goes close to something I've encountered in Victoria. I actually have a podcast listened to by literally dozens of city people. And I may talk about it on that. I don't know if you have Spotify over here, but give it a listen if you do. Appreciate all answers in advance. Thanks. Really looking forward to my lunch.
I love the idea that people in this room are in that group and just saw this post come up 3 hours ago and thought, oh, it's going to be a hell of a pod today. The great man's thrown the line out.
What I love is one of the first responses was someone like having a go going, say I'm from Melbourne without saying I'm from Melbourne. I just said I'm from fucking Melbourne.
Say you're from Adelaide without saying you're from Adelaide.
I said it like three times. Fucking great. First, Adelaide is a city. Don't breed them too smart in Melbourne. Spelt too wrong.
That's good. Always good.
Great stuff.
Any cars in the profile pics?
Yeah, a few fish, a few cars.
Yeah, a few jet skis. Yeah, nice.
I like this. Danny has put in there, I don't know if anyone knows this restaurant, Grandolph's Burgers and Tacos.
Yep.
Is that you, Grandolph? Grandolph. Fucking hell, that's awkward. Grandolph's Burgers and Tacos is a must. And I said, can you confirm indoor toilet? Then Danny said, no toilet, unfortunately, my bad. I say, apologies if weird question, but does that mean you just go in a corner on the floor? His response, you go in a bottle in the car on the way home. My response, you poo in a bottle?
No offence, but I would so much rather be friends with the Adelaide Burger Group version of Carl. He's awesome.
I go, you poo in a bottle? What a town. And then Grandolph's Burgers and Tacos chimes in and says, we do have a toilet, it's just around the back. So can you confirm that?
I just wanted to sound cool by pretending that I've been to a taco place. Man, you were about to get so much pussy after the gig and then you blew it.
Okay,
you
mate.
You fucking absolutely blew it.
Name three Grandolph burgers, all right?
Fake fan.
Yeah, fucking hell. What else we got? I think a lot of people are starting. Yeah, a lot of people started to get in on the joke and were like, oh, this is this cunt from the last 3 years. Yeah, it's.
Are there people in this room that are in that group? Yeah. Did you guys see this post? Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
so,
it.
So then, yeah. So a lot of too many people got in on it. So then I went, you know what? This is. I can't do this anymore. Like, there's too many people that know my superpowers in here. So I joined the Adelaide Schnitty group.
I reckon people are almost more like territorial about Schnitty than they are about burgers, honestly.
Well, let's see what happened. Hi, guys. I'm getting bullied over in the Adelaide Burger group. And I'll be honest, it's put me right off ever eating a burger again. What a toxic group. I cannot ever imagine eating a burger. You guys seem way nicer. Anyway, I've just arrived in Adelaide from Melbourne. I'll be honest, I didn't even know you guys had schnitzels over here. I brought four on the plane with me. Good on you. Some people I know think you're a bit behind the times over here, but obviously that can't be further from the truth. Anyway, do you have any restaurants here that have schnitzels between two bits of bread? With cheese, can they add tomato? Can you swap out the chicken and put beef in there? Reply here, please. Immediately booted. So.
Oh. Yeah, okay. A tighter ship. Admin's not asleep at the wheel like in the Burger Group.
Get on board and crack the whip, Adelaide Burger Group.
Damn. Yeah. Imagine seeing Taylor Swift in front of 96,000 people at the MCG and she's like, are any of you all in the best pizzas of Melbourne group? Well, have I got a yarn for you? Get them, Tay-Tay. Yeah,
yeah. I asked for bacon on a pizza, fucking idiots.
Oh. Why don't they do cheesy crust at La Pucetta? Well, we do have some more well-wishers.
We've got some special guests coming in, but we've also got some big names that couldn't make it that wanted to send their well-wishers anyway. So we thought we would line some of them up, some very big names. I think I can hear one of them starting up now.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ronnie Cheng. One of the biggest Oriental comedians in the world.
Do the accent.
On a personal note, Carl, I was...
Who's ever stumbled
English
on...
English is my second language.
Wow. Imagine trying to do this sketch in Australia.
Just confirming he is doing the eyes.
On a personal note, Carl, I was wrong. I really miss you. I miss when you used to do the eyes at me while I was on stage and how you gave everyone a light, but for me, you banged a big gong. Carl gave me a script, but I didn't do it.
That's not me.
Did we?
Thanks to Thailand, I know you have a soft spot for most Asian people.
Ooh.
And one very hard spot for Asian young people. Oh. Sorry, I shouldn't have done that one. This is also from Ostentatious.
No.
By the way... Did we set up what the... this is a phone call, right?
These are different people, you fucking idiot.
This is different people calling up.
Anyway.
We're on the phone right now. Anyway. It sounds really clear, but it's the idea is that we're on the phone.
Anyway, thanks, Ronnie. Oh, now we've got a call from Austin.
Oh, your phone's ringing again.
Yes.
No problem.
Right.
Jesus.
Austin.
Welcome, Austin.
Hi, it's me, Austin-tatious.
Right.
Congrats on the 700th episode, you anti-Semitic pieces of shit.
Uh-huh.
I hope you end up being the Palestine of comedy. Carl wrote this.
Just do the lines, Austin.
Anti-Semitism is so far down the list of crimes we've committed so far on this episode.
Everyone in Australia is a terrible comedian. That is apart from that young fella who beat me in the Australian Comedy Hall of Fame, Nick Capper. Not only is he the only non-anti-Semitic comedian in Australia, he's also the funniest and most agricultural.
Now this is truly from before.
Yeah.
People do not remember what this is about.
Yeah. Is that the end of the phone call, Austin?
Yes. Great.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Austin. Round of applause for Austin-tatious.
Austin-tatious, everybody.
And now I think we have one more person that we couldn't get here.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we have Brett Blake on the line.
Oh, hi everyone. I'm Brett Blake. I'm a fucking idiot. I've taken time out of my busy schedule of being homeless on the beach and pissing in my own sleeping bag to keep warm. Congratulations on episode 700, which is 650 more than what I can count up to. On good you, guys. I mean, good on you. Sorry, I can't read. Oh, and we got one more surprise one.
Oh, yeah. Did you hang up the phone, Brett? Thank you. Thank you, Brett. Thanks, everyone. Brett Blake, round of applause.
Brett Blake.
We've got one more.
There's one more phone call
coming.
One more phone call coming.
It's Nick Capper, everyone.
Oh, g'day, guys. Oh, my name's Nick Capper, and I'm the dumbest cunt who's ever lived. I just got fired from selling the Big Issue because the other sellers said I was bringing the brand down. The real big issue is how do I stink worse than the actual homeless people? Anyway, I had to drive to Adelaide because the airport wouldn't let me in because I said I bombed too much. Anyway, I'm a bee. Buzz, 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 buzz. Haggard's pizza doggy. Anyway, my wife pays my rent. Bye.
Wow, he stuck the landing.
I meant to say the truth.
Also, why would you get me to read something, you fucking dickhead?
This is so much more fun than having guests out on stage. I like it.
Yeah, that should be a new podcast. Just us on stage and the guests backstage.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, we just leave a mic somewhere. We invite people to just come and say what they want into it. Yeah. And then we just sit here and react.
Just the glory hole of podcasting.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Yeah, well, thanks to all those prestigious phone callers for dialing in.
I mean, one day we might be able to get Nick Capper and Brett Blake on a stage. Wow.
Yeah.
It's all then.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. We have actual guests.
Should we get some actual three-dimensional guests out here in the flesh? Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome into the Little Dum Dum Club, Tom Ballard, Dave Thornton, and Nazim Hussain. Yeah. Hey.
Hello.
Guys. The cavalcade of stars back there. Yeah. It is.
You mean
crazy.
On the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, on the phone.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, what a sight. Some real theatre backstage shit out there.
Mate, Kappa was just like a chicken pecking. He's just fucking going on the mic. He was going nuts during his performance.
The operator going overtime back there, were they? The phone operator?
Oh, yeah.
Working
all the lines.
Yeah.
Because I've only got landlines here in Adelaide. Am I right, guys?
Hey! Save that for Adelaide burger lovers, mate.
Hey, congrats on 700 episodes, Tommy and Carl!
Yay!
Hooray.
And selling this show out is crazy. Wait, you had one ticket left to sell, and then that Snowtown murderer got out on parole, and then you sold out. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Congratulations.
Is that a thing that happened?
Yeah.
Really?
I tell you, you did know that. Michael Hing, when he made a barrels reference on an ABC radio we did yesterday, that the ABC boomers did not appreciate.
Well, you could have just said an Asian spoke into a microphone and the boomers did not appreciate. Like, that's all you needed there. So what? Hang on. So the guy that killed everyone and put him in the barrel got out.
He was just an accomplice.
Oh, okay. Right,
and he's here. Put your ankle bracelet up.
Yeah. Hey.
There we go. We'll take anyone for an Adelaide sale. Fuck that. Who cares?
Do you reckon he's hitting any shows at the Fringe? Going to check out the Stripsons? No?
He's got to see who's a comedian I hate. Fuck, hang on.
Oh, this will be good. This will be real good.
He's got to see Husey and wants to kill again. No, no, no. I love Husey.
Why you hate Husey.
I panicked. I love Hughes. I know and love Hughes.
Excuse me, not David. What? I was wearing his merch last week, old Dave Hughes.
Oh yeah, what did that sound like?
Oh yeah. So no. So this is.
Jeez, have a look at me nipples. There we go. T-shirt.
So is this right? So you put up on socials this week.
How come I didn't get a phone call?
Oh, he got a phone call and he said no, and that's why you're here. So
do I get in case of emergency, break glass and pull out extra Dave.
I'm part of the franchise. Don't you know about that?
No, you were wearing a Husey t-shirt, and I'm always fascinated by that because you have bands that have like t-shirts, but comedians don't have t-shirts. You're wearing a Dave Hughes t-shirt. Yeah. Is that merch? Is he selling Dave Hughes t-shirts?
No, there's only one in existence. It's his flyer. And the flyer finished his shift, gave it to the producer, which is my producer as well. And she goes, have a look at this t-shirt. I'm wearing that.
So if that
barrels guy actually murders me tonight in that t-shirt, I'm like, I'm happy to go out. This is something I'm happy to
get
buried in.
So the flyer wasn't proud enough to wear the Dave Hughes t-shirt after the shift finished. It was like, fuck, I'd rather be topless.
Yeah, just threw it on
there's
the ground.
There's one Dave Hughes t-shirt in existence. We need to own that for our Hall of Fame. We need a dum-dum Hall of Fame.
I'll do anything for that t-shirt. Yeah. Put it up on StockX, $3,000. I'm buying it.
You know what I love about the t-shirt? If anyone hasn't seen it in the poster, we all have, where it's a cartoon of his face.
Mm. Yep.
It kind of looks like Mark Knight, the guy who does the cartoons when AFL clubs win their premierships.
Yeah, in the Herald Sun.
And normally they're supposed to be more offensive than your actual face, but that he actually looks better in the cartoon.
Yeah. His skin is a better complexion, right?
No, but this is like nothing that he hasn't spoken about, but there's some shit going on with the skin on his face at the moment, isn't there? Like, he's got some...
Is it? If only he had the money for some plastic surgery. If only...
No, you got... What do you got?
To be fair, Naz, there's some stuff going on with the skin on your face as well.
Oh, now hey, we're sensitive? Fuck,
you know what
what's
it is?
What's gotten into you?
It's more advanced than your
I'm
pink
sorry,
shit.
I've been here for a week. I'm going crazy.
It's true what they say. You start left and then you just go hard right.
If I do another week in this town, I'm going to be working for Sky News. Jesus
Christ. I can't help but notice that the bottom half of your pants has fallen off as well. So.
Yes.
Hey, Carl. That's a thing, isn't it?
That's a thing.
He's gay.
What do you mean that's a thing? He's gay. He wears shorts. What? No, you're confusing that with having sex with other men.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
start,
yeah.
You've got to take the bottom half.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I mean, you're brown and wearing tracksuit pants. Yeah. Like,
do you think he's perennially half taking his pants off right now? Is he?
I don't know.
He's halfway through undressing right now?
As if you know shit about my culture. I don't know shit about... what do you guys... Is that what you do? How do you have sex? You take your pants off, right? The clothes come off first.
Yeah. No.
Then it's dick out, then it's ass spread. Is that what it has?
Yeah. Oh,
my
on.
God! Sure.
Yeah, Naz, they fuck with their shins. That's what they do.
We fuck with our clothes on. We're Muslim.
Right? Shirt staying on, honesty, huh? Pants off, ass spread, good to go.
Yeah?
That's a
t-shirt.
No.
That's a... Yeah.
No.
What are you doing? Don't fuck until you see the whites of their knees.
They're like crickets. They just mate when they rub their legs together.
This isn't being recorded.
And we always do it while facing Mecca, just to fuck you guys.
This podcast truly is the Gaza of podcasts. It's a fucking war crime.
All right, let's call a ceasefire, mate. You and
me. Yeah, right. Well, you were doing your solo show here in Adelaide. Yeah. I heard, was it last night? Last night, someone in your show had a heart attack.
Right there.
Wow. That,
like that seat. The
they had a heart attack. What happened? Were you going well?
Oh, fucking... Listen, mate, the guy, he fell over, hit his head on the thing, straight before a punchline, fucked it. And anyway, I don't know if you know my audience, pretty multicultural. I said, any doctors here, half the room put their hand up. If anybody had a toothache, I'm sure they'd be sold as well. anyway, he was good. He was good. He went out, he was cracking jokes to the paramedics. And it was a joke about the tooth fairy not existing. And that's kind of what got him. I just jokes about Palestine later. But it was the tooth. Anyway, it was.
Real heart attack.
Oh, he didn't know the tooth theory wasn't real. He had a heart attack.
For his whole life, he was just living there.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Wasn't he like 75 years old too?
He was very old. Yeah,
yeah, right.
He had a heart attack. No, finding out the tooth fairy wasn't real because
His
teeth had fallen out at 75, and he thought he had a bit of a nest egg.
His mum clearly has been putting cash under his pillow, and he only just found out.
Did he suffer a head injury? Because he'd love this podcast.
That's bad for us.
I'd be surprised if we have even one doctor in the audience, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, is there a doctor in here?
All right, hang on, sorry. Is there a forklift driver in here?
Yeah, how many Garbos?
How many people in between jobs?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, well, la-di-da. Yeah. Apart from the people on stage, none.
Did anyone go to uni? Like, is there...
Oh, there we go. We've had more cheers from who's in the Adelaide Burger Group.
That's my job, posting about burgers.
lot of heart attacks in that group, I think, yeah.
Well, it's good to be. It's great to be here in Adelaide doing a podcast with mates. It's good to get away from home at the moment. I'm a bit in the doghouse at my place. Woke up yesterday morning. My fiance was very angry at me for sort of most of the day. There was a bit of a weird vibe, and eventually,
anything
I was
to
like,
do with that neckline and the.
I think you should be wearing shorts.
There is a real Tom Selleck thing going on. Yeah.
I think.
Hang on. It's a mix of Tom Selleck and his nan. You got some sort of knitted thing over the top of a hairy chest.
For the listener at home, I look very cute. Really fuckable, I would say. But yeah, there's a bit of a weird vibe, and eventually I had to go like, what's going on? Like, what's the problem? Have I done something? And she goes, oh, I just had a dream last night. Had a dream about you, and it's really. Yeah, it's really upset me, honestly. Oh, and I was like, oh, what's happened in the dream? And she goes, we were at our wedding.
You haven't left. Yeah.
We're at our wedding and we're at the altar and you turned to me in front of everyone and you said, I'm really sorry, but I can't go through with this because I'm gay.
Yes!
Fuck. Yes.
And she goes, and then the guy that you were cheating on me with was like at the wedding. And then we went on with the rest of the reception and you were just on the dance floor making out with him.
Did you pull your pants down and did you spread your cheeks? Is that what
I've been wearing shorts around the house, which I think might
be. Were you wearing shorts at the wedding?
Yeah.
Right.
But she was like, yeah, this guy in the dream that you were cheating on me with, she's like, I hate to say it, but you were clearly the bottom. Like,
okay.
What does that mean?
And then she was. What do you think?
Good question.
Have a guess. You get three guesses.
So you get to be the bottom, like the ass.
Yeah.
That gets fucked. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, that's.
I got it. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
Have I got it?
They don't cover this in the madrasas. What are you talking about?
There wasn't a chapter on that in the Quran.
What do you think happens in if there was a bottom in sex? Yeah. What would happen with the bottom?
You're lying there, looking up.
But. With sex, generally with sex, something goes into something else.
Yeah.
So do you think a bottom goes into something or do you think something goes into a bottom?
Well, that's the confusing thing because you could literally be on the bottom or you could be the bottom. Like you'd be... Like maybe gays just...
Yeah, but I think that's both the same thing, isn't it?
No, because if you're lying on the bottom, you will be doing the injecting.
Injecting!
What?
Injecting.
What do you guys call it?
Is there a doctor in the house?
You have two children, motherfucker!
Yeah. Are your kids IVF? What's happening?
Maybe. I actually don't know how kids are made.
Jeez, the pillow talk at your joint must go off.
Do you want me at the bottom looking up? Yeah. 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 Do you want me on the bottom doing an injecting?
Yeah. I'm going to go planetarium style, looking up.
I've got an erection. All right. This is a really...
You can't hide it in those tracksuit pants.
Seriously, it's just Tom's shorts. This is just really vomiting. Yeah, yeah. It's the most skin I've ever seen.
Why do you see me in shorts and think about sex and injecting bottoms?
Like, yeah. He's been working out. He's been doing... Anyway, can we...
Injecting.
Okay, I'm going to have to Google this shit after. Yeah, right? Yeah. What is a bottom?
So the bottom, I presume, and, you know, it's correct me if I'm wrong.
I will.
I don't want to gay-splain anything, but... I'm assuming the bottom is on the bottom, meaning that they're getting a penis into their posterior.
Oh, geez, you went highbrow on that. Yeah. It took you 700 episodes and you've finally done it.
Is this a podcast or gay conversion therapy? Because I don't think I can stick with it after all this.
Yeah. I'm going to inject you.
Yeah, gay conversion therapy that I've been to is very different to this.
You know that if you went to gay conversion therapy, were gay,
I know,
right?
I know, exactly. This is like, the joke falls over in several ways.
Oh, God, I'm having a heart attack!
That is great. I've never thought of that gay conversion therapy where it's like someone walks in and goes, I'm too straight. Can you please fix me?
Welcome to class!
Just start on a small posterior and then work your way up.
And then work up to injecting. Oh, sorry, guys, for being funny.
Fuck, this could be my last gig.
She was, because this is a classic trope, right? In a relationship, someone has a dream about you, and of course, they're upset with your actions and the reality of the dream.
Yeah.
And she actually brings that into the real non-dream world and is angry at you for being hypothetically dream gay.
Yeah. Right.
And being a big old Nelly bottom.
But also, like, the dream is used as an excuse to say what you really think. Like, she might have not even had the dream. Like, it's just a way to bring
She's just invented this dream.
Yeah.
I mean, that's honestly, I truly would prefer that.
So you're saying she just wanted to wake up one morning, look across and go, you're gay.
Yeah. I'm going to call him a big old injector and see what happens.
And are you the bottom in your relationship?
What?
What did you call it? A Nelly bottom?
A big Nelly bottom, yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, Nelly's like a very camp, effeminate bottom. And
can you have a masculine bottom?
Yeah, you can be a power bottom.
What does that mean?
Sorry? Jeez, here we go.
Happy Mardi Gras, everybody.
I didn't know there were so many shades of getting fucked in the ass.
Okay, I thought I was being homophobic, but this is just, come on.
Yeah, hey, you hosted the Masked Pegger.
That's Carl's porn parody, 50 Shades of Getting Fucked in the Ass. Wait, so what's a power bottom?
Is it
like a phone with an extra battery pack? Is that...
Is a power bottom someone bending over but like running backwards into it?
Yeah. I mean, you're not far off, yes.
Right. Beautiful act out.
Yeah, thank you.
Has anyone else got any more riffs on that one? Or do you want me to, want me to reveal the real answer?
Oh, yeah,
behind door number one.
Back door number one.
Yeah, great.
Comedy is that easy, guys.
What about if you were like, am I in the Adelaide Burger Group? Because I'm in between two buns right now. Yeah.
From before.
Once I get these shorts off, I'm going to have at it. So a power bum, please.
Power bum. Now we're so familiar with it, we're abbreviating already. A big old power bum.
Power posterior.
Yeah. Oh, what a bummer. A power bottom.
We're all laughing and learning today.
Well, we are.
They're not.
A power bottom is one that sort of pushes back while the fucking happens, right?
That does sound inviting.
Yeah.
That seems fair. Yeah.
Can you surprise someone with it? Like, do you mention this beforehand, or are you just in it going, oh, I've cottoned on, this is a power bum, or is that on offer straight up?
Stop saying power bum! I don't know why. You're a lovely man, but it seems very homophobic.
Oh, really?
Oh, this seems homophobic. Oh, everything that happened over the last 15 minutes.
Come on, Dave.
Yeah. You're becoming a lot like ostentatious.
There's
a lot of anti-Semitic.
Sort of being an amazing comedian. Yeah, we're the same.
Any other questions?
But Carl, in answer to your question, I'm not the bottom. I'm the injector. In fact, partner calls me Fleety.
I have noticed how your girlfriend does insist on a blue light in your bedroom, but yeah.
You call a condom a tourniquet. I'm just putting it on. I'm ready, baby.
I'm just saying, if you charge $20, you're technically a prostitute now. That's all.
I'm looking for a power vein. Where are you?
Yeah. Oh, very informative stuff.
Yeah.
This is great.
I love that. Fleety's actually doing his new show in here in 1 week, which means he starts writing that show in 1 week.
Yeah, so, get him. Get him. Got is him. That true? Does he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah,
Luke Higgy has already booked a ticket.
It's Greg Fleet, unfurnished. The room has nothing in it.
That's good. That's good.
Because Husey's called fully fit.
Yeah. From before. Yeah, yeah. No,
from your shirt.
From my shirt. Yeah, mind you, a nice little fun fact about Husey's show, because I asked him why it's called Fully Furnished. Is there a bit about it? And he's like, yeah, but it's not working. It won't go on the show. So there's no reason to call it that. He just went for it.
Great. It's actually named after a... you guys did a little short film, you and Tommy.
Yeah.
We made a pilot for a comedy web series for SBS a few years ago. It was called Fully Furnished. I believe it's about to be uploaded to a little website called YouTube, Tommy.
Yep, whoa. Yep. People will be able to watch it. That's very exciting.
And in that episode, you can see my naked ass, and you can see the power bum for yourself.
Yes.
That's homophobic, mate.
Sorry, guys. Yes, and Husey checked with us. He's like, "Oh, you did this series," and then he was like, "Oh, I'm just going to call it that anyway."
Yeah, yeah. Oh, what was it about? Oh, it was a series that we did. Oh, I'm just going to call it that anyway, and then not put the bit that refers to the title in the show. I got to get one of these fucking t-shirts. The dream is we put the pilot online and then it goes massive and then we buy the t-shirt off Husey and then we have that as merch for our web series. We resell it.
There's a good chance it'll go massive. It does feature one Ronald Chang as a special guest star, so it could blow up and go huge.
He was just on the phone.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I wonder what it'd sound like if he was here now.
Who knows how that would sound like.
He's become
Australian podcast.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I think it was.
I wonder what Husey as a power bottom would sound like.
Husey as a what?
As a power bottom.
Oh, power bottom. Oh, that's good.
Look at me, I'm pushing back.
Yeah,
you're a great top. Never forget that. Do you want me to wear a condom? No, thank you.
Yeah.
I put a bunch of snake's eyes up my ass. Now they're all dead.
That's good gear.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good.
When Holly finds out, she'll be furious.
Husey needs that yield and that cock.
Wait, so what was your short film, your power short, about?
Power short.
Power short.
It pushes back.
Hey, what can I ask for more terms? So there's the what was
oh
it? The
God,
Nelly, the Nelly bottom. So the Nelly bottom doesn't push back; it pushes the other way.
Now, I might be getting that kind of wrong. If anyone saw Queer as Folk, again, no one in this room, but. There's a character on there called Emmett who regularly referred to himself as a Nelly Bottom. And, you'll love this, actually. I used to do a routine about this. There was a scene in Queer as Folk.
Well, in that way, I won't love it.
You won't be.
Yeah.
You love my comedy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Very nervous laughter over there. Of course, used to tune into SBS late at night to watch people fucking, and maybe sometimes they showed some gay people having sex. When I was in year 10, I tuned into SBS late at night. It was an episode of Queer as Folk. In this scene, Emmett was running away with his lover, who was in his 70s. They were on a plane. They decided to make love in the airplane toilet. Emmett was the power bottom, which we're all familiar with from before. Yeah. And his elderly boyfriend had a heart attack from before.
Oh my God.
And died with his penis lodged in Emmett's ass. And
from
that was
before.
The first time I saw any representation of gay sex on TV.
Wow.
And I said, I gotta get some of that.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, sign me up.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
That's your influences. Okay. Right.
Yeah, those are my guys.
That's where you get your ideas.
So Nelly Bottom, we've covered otters and so bears and twinks. So this is all
no, I don't know any of that. But like, if there's a Nelly Bottom and a power bottom,
yes.
Does that mean that there's the appropriate powered penis or submissive
what?
Penis? To like top.
What?
You know what I'm
talking about?
If there's that many shades of like
being on the
stop
bottom.
Making that gesture. Stop saying powerbomb. Stop the whole podcast. Retire at 700.
I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to learn.
What do you mean? What do you mean a submissive penis? What would that even do?
Well,
it's called not getting it up.
So yeah. Okay. So there's a power bottom. Right, what's the other one called?
Yeah. Exactly.
What's so if someone's the power? Then the other one is the press.
Wow, you've got Nazim translating for you. Well done.
Yeah, the power bottom is Palestine, and the power top is Israel.
And they're both power. They're both power. You could both be powerful.
Can you be a power top?
If a power top fucks a power bottom, I think the universe ends.
Okay. So you can't do it. Sure. Yeah.
Right. It's got to be give and take. There can't be give and give.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. Okay. I think I know how to be gay now. Right. Okay.
It's whatever you do with Milan.
Before you were on your phone for a couple of minutes, I was like, what is Carl doing on his phone? And now I know you were Googling different terms for being gay.
I was having an argument on text with Brett Blake going, can you please bring me a beer? And him saying, fuck off.
Why were you texting him that?
I could see him. I'm like, how else am I going to get a beer up here? Yeah.
See, now that's saying fuck off. That's being a power bottom.
Yeah. Okay. Is it?
You're pushing back.
Okay. Oh, yeah, all right.
Now you get it.
Okay. Not really, but yes.
Sometimes I think we've made too much progress. Yeah. Let's actually wind it back a little bit. Stop being an ally in a very weird way.
I'll tell someone to fuck off on Thursday. It's out of character for me.
That's very out of character for you because I think of you as possibly the nicest guy in comedy.
Oh, until you heard this podcast.
No. Yeah, you're the nicest guy in comedy. Anyway. And you give too much of your time to people...
Well,
that have watched the
not
shows.
On Thursday. I was in a rush. I had a show.
No, but before Thursday, what did you do the other night before that?
I don't know. What are you
didn't
about?
Someone like say hello to you after the gig and all of a sudden you were out to dinner with a bunch of strangers?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I ended up sitting out on a table with the whole family, literally getting to know all of them, got invited to their engagement party the next day in Glenelg. And I was like, oh, I've got a late show. Anyway, I said, yeah. And they had a table for... Anyway, I was literally just trying to make it work until Beck coached me through. My manager coached me through how to say no to them and said, say these words. And so I did. And anyway, then I restricted them so they can't see that I've read their follow-up messages. But then they can't try to convince me. Anyway, look, that's not the story that I should tell you.
Mate, you've got to be inspired by the power bottom. Push back.
I did. All right, so Thursday. Had a show 9:00. The flights all got delayed. 3 flights, Virgin, Qantas, Jetstar.
So you had a show here, right, but you were in Sydney.
I was in Sydney, so we had to delay the show by an hour.
Wait, did you buy all those flights?
Huh? Yeah, so basically they had booked Qantas and Jetstar as a backup, but then those two were delayed an hour. So I was like, shit, got to book a Virgin flight, because that was still not delayed, and they booked that, and then 10 minutes later, that got delayed. So it was the 3 flights were coming in at the same time, so it was literally just me running between terminals, just because one was getting less delayed, and then they all got more.
Must be fucking nice.
Yeah. Man, Melbourne to Adelaide, cash.
I'm late for my 3 planes. That's like more baller than Taylor Swift's one private jet.
We've made too much progress. Muslim running around the airport is not dangerous. That's fine. That's a sign of privilege.
I'm going to get on that plane! There goes Naz. I'm sure he's not up to anything sus.
So anyway, plane landed at like 9:50 or something, and it took 14 minutes to get here, so I was already going to be late for the 1 hour delayed show.
Right.
And so I was like, I was in 4A, I had to freaking get this a premium economy X because I got the point. And so I was like, I just got to get straight off. So you know the tunnel from the plane to the terminal? I was just trying to overtake people just to get to the taxi rank and make it, kind of not too late. I was dodging past everybody, and I got past one guy, and there was space between me and him and the wall. But as I was passing him, he like elbowed me in my ribs.
Ooh.
And then I said, what? And he said, what's the rush for, prick? And I just said, fuck off.
Oh,
and
you, then, did. You did the voice.
And then I went ahead and he said, what'd you say? And I said, fuck off. And then I had to loop back around because it's a ramp. And then I saw him and he but he pulled his phone out then and he was recording me. I was like, oh, shit, he's trying to get me in trouble. Yep. But I was like, but he missed the good bit. So I was pretending. I was just smiling.
Oh,
and
great.
I was on my phone. But there were eyewitnesses and they would have all heard me say, fuck off. And the one sad thing that I said was, he goes, what are you running for? I said, I've got to get to a show. So that's...
I like how you're worried that you're going to get cancelled from saying fuck off. Well, it's like, that's a good day for me.
So that's a common assault, though. Like, imagine if he felt intimidated that I was going to hurt him. I could be charged with
But how are you going to hurt him by saying fuck off? Like, but he hit you, didn't he?
That's what I'd say to the Your Honour. Like, I don't know.
You thought in your head this is going to end up in court.
I literally voice messaged my friend who's a lawyer, and I said, "Is this? Am I going to be in trouble with the law?"
Is this you when you're having dinner with some strange family going, am I going to get sued if I leave this dinner?
Okay. Anyway, I said fuck. So basically my point is don't mess with me anymore because I've changed. I'm a changer.
Okay,
you're hardcore now.
I'm a tough cunt.
You're
the bad boy.
I'll say it like it is, man.
Yeah.
Don't try and elbow me.
Yeah, you're getting there. Yeah. You're getting there.
So that's respect. That vibe right there.
It's not
lack of joke. It's respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a power Muslim now.
I'm a power top Muslim.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm at the bottom.
I look down. I don't know.
Do you think Naz is definitely a bottom? Is this what's happening here?
I think he'd be a verse. A lovely, gentle lover who would both give and receive.
What's that?
A verse?
Thank you. There's the last 15 minutes of the pod taken care of.
That's versatile. Like, I can...
Versatile. Versatile, yes. Yeah. He does both. He both gives and receives. Craig brought that for you, Carly.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Oh, yep. Okay, thank you, Craig.
Yep. No worries. Yeah. Craig, can you bring our the diagrams that I brought? I think that's actually going to help us the most.
Craig, can you get up here and let us fuck you in the ass just to demonstrate to the audience what it's all about?
Still more entertaining than Naz's show. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I like you.
Yeah. I missed what you said, so...
Oh, I roasted you real good.
Okay.
No, tell me to fuck off.
Huh? Oh, no, I'm a versatile, nice guy, apparently.
Versatile.
I'll take that.
Versatile. Yeah, like a salada. Yeah.
What?
Did you say like a salada?
That's a salada.
How Maryborough is that? You can dress it up, you can
like
dress
a salada.
It down.
What do you mean?
Hey, you know, a salada. You can fuck a salada. A salada can fuck you. What else are you meant to do in Maryborough on a Friday night?
They got little holes, you can fuck them, or you can shove them up your ass.
You can put your dick in them, still have heaps of room left over.
Yeah. Or you can eat them. Yeah. They're versatile.
The salada. They call me the salada.
Yeah.
A salada is like a power bottom or a power top.
Yeah, that's the official new term. I'm going to go to Mardi Gras and go, guys, we're updating the lingo, top bottom saladas.
Oh, no. They're going to have their own float.
Yeah.
This podcast,
just a giant cracker driving down the street.
Just the casual way you said it, too. They'll all get it. A salada. Yeah,
we all know. The salada goes with literally anything.
Yeah. Yeah. These guys get it because they weren't laughing that much, they were nodding. Yeah.
That's wonderful stuff.
A few of them probably thinking, fuck, I could go a salada right now.
Yeah. No, I'm fine. Yep.
You get a lot of questions when you're gay, don't you?
Probably not as many as when you're Muslim.
This is good.
Particularly between 2001 onwards.
What other questions do you get?
We've answered all the questions clearly. Like, everyone's asking about the gay stuff. No one cares about us anymore.
Yeah. No, you get a lot through Ramadan, do you not? Like, people do give it a lot of
not
like,
even
how
water.
Do you, what do you do? How do you do it?
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but then there's the keto, the intermittent fasting has answered all that shit for us. Now everyone's doing it.
Right.
Don't worry about Allah. Joe Cultural Rogan podcast. They're the ones that answer the questions.
Yeah, exactly. You want to know Islam? Listen to Joe Rogan. Same shit. Kind of, at times, misogynistic. Not the religion, some people.
They should make crackers that you can eat during Ramadan and call it salada.
Fuck!
That was so good in my head.
I don't get it.
But you know what?
I tell you what, if you had jeans on, I reckon that would have been good.
I don't get it, anyway.
I just topped myself in that.
Oh, man, that would be great. Yeah, that should be a gay term. Instead of suicide, I power topped myself.
I hit rock power bottom and I topped myself. How about this? Can we talk about Dave Thornton juicing his comedy, using performance-enhancing drugs?
Uh-oh, what?
Tell him the story.
No.
What?
You know, ABC, always be contenting, mate. You know what I mean?
Thank you, yes.
Always throwing out. I've worked in breakfast radio. I know how it works. And now that everything goes online and I'm a TikTok star, you know that. And
yeah.
So I put up my clips.
Yeah, I mean, Blanket's already a big fan of you. She's four and she's, you know, right into TikTok and your comedy.
Don't be jealous, mate. What? Don't be jealous.
Don't be jealous of what?
That your daughter likes comedy and it's Dave.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was just a riff I thought was funny and it wasn't. Anyway.
Of course she said she had comedy on TikTok. She'd never seen it before.
That's a comment on me.
Yes. Yeah. Implying that you're bad.
Yes.
I heard Daddy books this stuff. That's what he does.
No, you know what she says all the time? She goes, when I go to work, she's like, oh, you're going to your work. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. She goes, you're going to a show. And I go, that's right. And I say, and you know what I do when I go to a show, don't you? And she goes, yes. You tell people what to do. Never like you're being funny or anything. You just yell at people.
Anyone who's gone to your club is amazing, Basement Comedy. But then when you get up at the start of each bracket, you do tell them what to do.
Yes.
There is an aggressive way of going, it's a good lineup.
Yeah.
Start clapping.
I should have done it tonight.
Mind you, can we talk about that? Last time I was on the pod, Josh Thomas was on. We had a lot of fun. But we were in your house.
Do the voice.
And no, I'm not doing the voice.
Don't ask me about power tops and bottoms in that respect, please.
Oh,
here we go.
You used to go steady with him.
How old are you again, really?
Am I sleeping at the bottom or the top now?
He's doing it. He did it. He did it. He did it. How would he have talked dirty to Tom Ballard?
Oh, Lord.
I'm Tom.
Oh, my God.
Very hard to have sex with him. He can't focus on anything. You start having sex, you're like, Josh, stop looking at the shiny thing. Come on.
Yeah. He starts sucking your dick, all of a sudden he's making a salada. Yeah.
What do you mean making a salada?
Making a salada.
It's versatile.
That's a great lockdown project. I baked my own saladas. That's how off the deep end I went.
No, I didn't say toss my salada. I said toss my salada.
Sorry, your last time you were on with Josh.
No, but we were there.
No, I want to hear the last time you were on with Josh.
Oh, my God. Very good. Yes, well done.
Thank you.
It was more we were doing the pod, and we all know what the dumb the content usually is. And there's little Blanket just sitting there watching us as there's fuckity fuckity fuck fuck just coming out. And I was just a bit like, can we do this in front of your daughter? And it seems like that horse has bolted. She has.
There was no other option that day. She had to literally sit under the table and watch us. That's what she was doing, wasn't it?
Yeah. But it seems like genetically, the apple hasn't fallen far from the tree, because we got to the end of that hour and I looked across and it was a very Carl Chandler reaction. She's just like, oh, wine this up.
Man, how good's this? This is what she did the other day. This is like full on. The other day, so we drove down the beach. The whole family drove down the beach, and we were stuck behind someone in traffic going down to like Anglesey, and it was like a one lane road, and I'm stuck behind this guy for like ages. I'm like, fuck this! They're going like 60k. Like, this is taking too fucking long. I'm getting madder and madder. And then it sort of opened up a little bit, but the lane opened up to the left. Like a not an overtaking, like an undertaking.
This is like what happened to me coming off the plane with the guy, except with cars.
Yeah. So a lane opened up so I could sort of go to the left and undertake, and I take off because I think I can see like a marked out sort of painted little traffic island, and then I went fucking boom, hit the gas, went there and went, oh, that's not painted, that's an actual traffic island.
Oh, shit.
And then hit it and went boom in the air.
Whoa.
Went in the air, and like we're in the air next to the other car, and we're like in the and I looked next to him, and the car next to us is just hadn't even noticed that we're in the air next to them. And then we just
but also hit. When you were as you were setting this up, you went, instead of saying, you know, you the opposite of overtake, you went, I went into undertake. It's like, wow, this is actually proving pretty accurate.
Yeah, nearly accurate, nearly very accurate. So we went in the air and then came down, and then the whole car's in shock. It just went boom like this, and all these cars, and like we were honestly like about a foot away from the other car as this is all happening, and we hit the ground, just went fucking bang, and we all just like the car rattled, and we all just went silent, and then Blanca went. Ha ha.
She's 4 years old. She goes, daddy's bad at driving.
Yeah.
And then she goes, and we go, oh, and we're like literally like my wife's fucking nearly having a fit. And then she goes, daddy, I think I just saw a police car. And I'm like, fuck, really? And she goes, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
Honestly, that is not a Ben Lomas story. All of that happened.
Whoa. Got Tim.
Yeah.
Fucking
what
hell.
Would the Ben Lomas version be?
Oh, and then the my car daughter, went and, into space.
Yeah. And then my kids started driving and everyone was like, oh my God.
Yeah. So, content.
Ah, damn it. I thought we're on a riff away from this.
It's a charming story, I think.
It is a charming story. So here at the Adelaide Fringe, as we all know, all the comedians are always crushing it. We have big numbers. Yep. We always play to sell our crowds.
Yep. Yes, big time.
Yes. And so we were gluttons for any attention. And so it was a Wednesday night, notoriously the best night for comedy.
Everyone likes going out on a Wednesday night.
Yeah. Midweek, they love it. And we went to an early gig that does this lineup, and it was actually a killer lineup. Like, you were on, there was...
the end.
Turkey. Yeah, yeah. And you were the power top, I believe. You finished it out, but...
Well, he fucked it really hard.
Fucked it backwards.
And then...
What?
I didn't pay enough attention.
Hey, never be gay, Daz. I don't think you've got a hold of this thing.
I feel like I've taught a small child a new swear word, and they've just gone mad with power.
Daddy's bad at comedy.
Daddy's gay.
And so we're at this gig, and it turned into the Adelaide 14. There were 14 people in the crowd,
right.
And we're getting up and just bombing and bombing. And I had a Taylor Swift gag that I've been using for the week, and I'm like, well, this won't really stick around for too long. I might as well film it and then put it up online.
Yep.
And so this was the only gig that I could really film it at. I wasn't doing any other lineup gigs, and I'm like, well, I'm filming this one regardless.
Yep.
So I held poise when I delivered the gag. Looked like I was playing to a stadium.
Incredible.
And then I'm like, Ballard's like, you're filming it? I was like, yeah, I'm filming it. And then the next day, I'm like, am I going to put this up online? And I zoomed in. And so you can only see the top of a couple of people's heads, and it looks like it's a huge gig.
Yeah, yeah.
But the reaction at the punchline was 14 people going, And Ballard and I've been talking about, because we got our shows back to back, and then
that's not
cool. Okay, whatever. Whatever you wanted to do with it.
You didn't mention that.
That's my favourite position. Yeah.
Yeah. Power bottom on power bottom.
We spread the cheeks and just put them up next to each other.
Salada.
The wind tunnel there.
Hang on, what did you say? I was laughing at Naz.
Oh, what did Naz say? I didn't
said
hear
Salada
it.
On Salada. So,
yeah, Salada on Salada.
Oh, I said the wind tunnel.
Oh, okay. I like them both. That's
not
good.
We should just like wait for each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's tag in and out. Yeah. I'll like tap you when I've got one ready to go. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
You can be like top and bottom.
You can
over
be like,
there.
Yeah.
I'm glad we got this sorted with 5 minutes to go. So.
After 700 episodes.
So, oh, we shouldn't do punchlines at the same time.
In short, my spot was received like that riff. But I thought, I'm not going to film this again. Taylor Swift, it's on point, it's topical.
It's topical, it's hot, baby. Finger on the pulse.
And you and Michael Hing are doing your show. You filmed the top of your show as well. You're putting out some clips. And so I was like, we're sharing stories. What do? How do you edit it? Whatever. And I'm looking at this clip and I'm like, it's still good. It's a good joke. It just didn't get the reaction I thought it would. And then Ballard saw it online and went, hey, there was a big laugh at the end of that.
Oh.
And he's like, where did... And I said, oh, I shot a special last year.
Nice.
Reusing laughter.
Wow. I heard those laughs.
I remember those laughs on MASH. What's happening here?
This is like when there'd be a laugh track on Scooby-Doo and you're like, these people didn't watch this cartoon dog laugh. What the fuck's this from?
That's a laugh from the fairground owner getting fucking unmasked. What the fuck's going on here?
I was saying to Tom, though, what I really want to do is like finish the punchline and then cut to like a stadium of people at a soccer kick with flares.
That's great. You said you can only see two people's heads and it's like that much laughter and their heads just aren't moving. Rock solid. I got to see this clip. Yeah. Is it still up?
I want the views, of course. Click on it.
Fuck yeah. All right.
Just know, everyone, every time you see a clip of Dave Thornton doing comedy, you cannot trust those laughs.
Even now, if you're laughing at him now, you're
don't
probably not.
We're piping in some of Eddie Murphy's roar through those fingers here, I think.
Wait, And the Salada laughs. Laughs off his line.
Oh, I love comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost as much as I love Saladas.
Yeah. Yeah. From
See,
before.
It's dead.
Yeah.
That's done.
Thank God I didn't talk over that one.
No.
All right, I think we got to get out of here, right?
Do we? What's the time?
Yeah, we're... Yeah.
Any I like that. We got to get out of here. Not one person argued.
Anyone got any questions they want Tom to answer? We're up here. Yes. This is your last chance.
I mean, I've got 10, but if you want to jump in, if that's a term, I'm not sure.
Can you get the Mardi Gras to sponsor this episode? Like, that was educational as hell.
Yeah, I love it. I love to learn.
Yeah.
The Mardi Gras thing to themselves will get the word out about Mardi Gras on the Little Dum Dum Club.
I've always thought that should be my drag name, Mardi Gras. That would be great. That's great.
Martin Gras.
Has anyone done that? Martin Gras.
That's all yours, Carl.
Okay. Right.
But Martin's a boy's name, so what, you're doing drag as a man?
Yeah, I dress up as a man, yes.
He's doing it right now.
I'm in drag right now.
And it's, you know, Mardi Gras. It's a play on the idea of being gay.
Is it like being double-crossed? Like, you're in drag again on top of that? Like, I feel like you
got thrown really early in the app and you've been trying to play catch-up ever since.
There's a lot of concepts.
You got scared you were going to get cancelled about 10 minutes in and you've been distracted since then. Is that fair?
No,
take that bit out. It's fine. Start being funny now.
Fuck off.
I think you've been smoking too much meth in the Comics Lounge car park, honestly. Oh,
it's all those vaccines that I took. Wait, do they know this?
No.
All right, we better wrap it
I'm
up.
An ice addict.
Guys, thank you very much for joining us. Give a big round of applause to Zim Hussain.
Yes!
Dave Thornton.
Yes!
Tom Ballard.
Yes!
Thank you very much for joining us. And we'll see you next time.
See you, mates.
And they've done it again.
Oh, most of us have. Yeah. I did start putting Naz's face on a few milk cartons halfway through that episode, but
well, we should say, I hope people enjoyed listening to that. We were all kind of debriefing in the green room afterwards. I don't think you felt this, but certainly me, Dave and Nazim all commented that we were having a tough time hearing each other up there.
I think I was smack bang in the middle.
Acoustics of that room being what they are. Very echoey and very hard to hear on certain parts of that stage.
Sounds like a lot of people making excuses. I wouldn't do that to you, dear listener. No, I was right in the middle so I could hear everyone.
A bad workman blames his venue. Has that ever happened as like a comedian meltdown? You know, it's like someone's not doing well, they'll be like, you guys are all fucking stupid. You don't get these jokes. Like, that's a next level of it. It's like, this room's fucked.
Yeah.
The acoustics in here are shit. No one can hear me.
Yeah. That's good. Blaming the room, because then you're like, look, I'm not blaming you, the audience. I'm sure you're laughing really loudly, but it's being muted by this room.
Especially if it's like your solo show and it's like the eighth night in a row you've done it in there. All the others have been fine. Something's off tonight.
Yeah.
The acoustics are real bad.
And just instead of like having a meltdown and you're just yelling at the audience going, fuck you or whatever, it's just the comic saying, mate, I'm on your side, but let's gang up on the architect in this joint. Fucking what a cunt.
Yeah. But no, fun stuff. A little end to something I was talking about that I didn't get to bring up on stage was the dream that my fiance had about me.
Oh, yes.
Being gay at our wedding.
Yes.
And then as I was leaving for Adelaide, she said, oh, who's on the show? And I said, Tom Ballard, Nazim Hussain, and Dave Thornton. And she said, all men. I bet you love that.
What is it with this show about both of our partners thinking we're gay in the last 6 months?
Yeah, I mean... Well, I mean, look, to be fair, yours is your partner finding messages where you're sending to someone, I am gay.
No, no, no. It wasn't saying that.
I'm going to suck you off and fuck your ass.
Yes. Let's put that on the record. It was those things.
What is it with our partners thinking this about us?
I didn't say I'm gay. I simply said I'm going to suck a man's dick. That's all.
I mean, I think her thinking that comes from a pretty valid place. Mine's just snuck into the subconscious
just
somehow.
Because my fingerprints are on the rifle doesn't mean that I pulled the trigger.
I mean, it is an interesting, like, which is worse? Like, her finding, like, messages, receipts, hard evidence, like, right in front of her of you saying these things, or me where I'm battling against someone's subconscious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I have to go...
She literally made it up and then is submitting that as evidence.
I have to go... Well, it's almost worse because it's like I have to go inception into her brain to be like... What's planted this in there?
Yep.
Like the things that you dream about, like they can't, they come from something.
Right.
What have I done in the real world
to
have this come up so vividly when you're asleep?
A lot of people walked out yesterday, not walked out, but at the end of it, once we'd finished, and said they'd learnt a lot. Which is
It was very educational.
Yeah. Which I'd rather hear people coming out and saying that was really funny, but whatever.
We're just like Sesame Street now.
Yeah. Fun times. We're still in Adelaide. We are here the next day. This is the next day after the recording, and we're sitting in your hotel room, Tommy, in Adelaide, in downtown Adelaide. I just checked out of my hotel room, and yours is a lot nicer than mine.
Yeah.
I would say. I booked mine after seeing the pictures online, and I would say this, Tommy, whoever took those pictures, we should get them for our next photo shoot because that would make us look
really big.
Fucking.
Clean and big.
That would make us look better than $40 a night. That would make us look like $130 a night rather than $40 a night, I would say.
Oh, by the way, when I met you downstairs in the lobby as we were getting into the lift, I started talking to you saying that you're a prostitute from an escort service just for the person at the front counter's enjoyment as the doors were closing.
Yes.
And so... if there's a knock on the door and we wrap this up very quickly, dear listener, you'll know it's because we got kicked out of this hotel.
Well, I think they would have been here by now because you were saying that, and as the doors were closing, I yelled out, "Let's fuck in the elevator." So I don't think you're sitting on that one for too long.
I mean, I think they're sitting there going, like, look, if we're going to kick him out for this, we at least want him to have his, you know.
Oh, right.
He may as
get his rocks off
first. If he's going to be out in the street, you know, if he's going to be kicked out for a crime... He may as well commit the crime.
God,
you know?
imagine.
We can't kick him out if we go in there and they're just spooning.
Yeah,
you know?
They imagine seeing someone hire an escort at 10:30 a.m. in Adelaide
on a Sunday. Hey, I'm. You know what? I'm sure that is probably. A
oh, actually, this
common time.
Probably still up.
Still up.
Yeah.
You know, brutal night the night before with the Saturday night. People are out partying. Tensions can run high. People can end up in an argument. You wake up Sunday morning. You're like, I'm so off the miso.
Right.
I'm going straight to the sex workers.
I think it'd be more like, someone having a massive night and then going and getting to a stage right now, not knowing what the fuck time it was.
Yep.
And going, all right, let's finish this night off with a bang.
Yep. Let us know.
Let us know.
Any sex workers that listen.
Yes.
What are the
we do have them.
What are the peak times?
Yeah. Oh, I would love to know that. I would love to know. Peak times and if that's a normal thing Sunday morning.
I drove past the other day the brothel that's next to the McDonald's in Clifton Hill. One of the all-time great combos, just on the same block.
The one next to the nice looking one in Clifton Hill.
Yeah.
Right.
There's like a brothel, like literally, like backs onto the down the side.
Did you have a joke about that, or maybe did we talk about it on the pod about
we
that?
We probably talked about it. Like you definitely, like it looks out like over where the kitchen is of the McDonald's.
Oh wow!
Like you definitely would be able to smell Donnie's when you're in there.
Yeah,
your
great.
Rocks off.
Great. What would smell worse, a brothel or McDonald's?
the idea of like. Someone like standing over the grease trap in the McDonald's just being like, oh God, that fucking brothel smell.
Yeah.
That comes. The smell of cum always wafting.
Close the window.
Putting me off my McNuggets.
What's, where's that fish smelling coming from? The fillet of fish or the brothel next door?
The you know, the thing when you're like, if you've ever worked at like a very specific type of like food place or whatever, and it really like, you just can't, you know, you can't ever eat that food again, or certainly not for a very long time.
Yep.
Like I worked at Grilled, and I was like, I can't go near Grilled for such a long time now.
Right.
The idea of someone having that with a brothel, it's like, yeah, I used to work on the front desk of a brothel, and like, I just can't be around calm anymore. It really put me off calm.
It's really put me off having hard-ons. Yeah. Actually, you know, did you have a follow-up with that? No. You just saw it the other day.
I just remembered it existed, and you know, it just always fills my heart with joy. Right. I mean, I've always been fascinated by the idea of like, what's the, you know, how many people on a given week are hitting both of them?
Yeah.
Going for a Donny's and then a follow-up.
Yes.
Or like vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, going in, probably more likely.
No.
You hit the brothel and then you're like,
exactly.
God, I could go a quarter pounder.
I really hope someone's not fucking cleaning up at McDonald's and then goes, yeah, I need to get sucked off after this.
Yep.
And someone's, and some poor worker in there is having to suck the fucking McDonald's sauce out of someone's dick.
Yeah. Again, I'd love to know.
Yeah.
I just would love to know how.
Yeah.
There's someone who's like,
is there some sort of meal deal happening there that people can take advantage of?
Oh, is it like, you know how like some bars, if they don't have a kitchen, but they've like worked out a deal with like the Mexican place next door?
Yeah.
That you can order tacos just at the bar and they'll bring them over?
Yeah.
You're in your room in the brothel and you can get Macca's delivered to your door.
Yeah. Is there some sort of extra happy meal?
Yeah.
Where you can get the meal and then have the toy shoved up your ass next door or something?
Being an Uber Eats driver and getting the delivery and it's like from McDonald's Clifton Hill to the Scarlet Madam next door.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that'd be good. I'd love there to be some sort of deal, some sort of thing happening between the two businesses. Quick follow-up. Let's get onto the names very soon because we're working against the clock. We've got to go and do an actual episode.
Yeah.
For next week. With the burger, Adelaide, shout out to the Adelaide Burger Lovers Facebook group. Get in there, even if you're not in Adelaide, for a bit of fun. To look at a lot of passion in there. Like I said last year, there's a Melbourne equivalent and it sucks. It's boring. No one gives a fuck. It's like, it'd be lucky to be Melbourne burger likers, I reckon. They're not into it at all.
There's so much more. I just think Adelaide is just a city where people who live here have so much more pride about their city than I think any other major city in Australia.
I think. There's some stuff I didn't get around to, which I think were good gear. There were people in that group that know who I am now that are like, oh, here's this guy again.
Here he is.
It's fringe time. This guy puts this thing in. He's going fishing. But there's heaps of people that aren't like that, which is much appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, Matthew, says, my recommendations are Diamond Burger. Shout out to Diamond Burger. Stacks. And Burger Incredible. Not sure if any of them are Melbourne style, but if you ask nicely, they may be able to serve it in a shoe or put a top hat on it or something to make you feel at home. I love the Adelaide vibes towards Melbourne because you're like, I think we've talked about this before. It's like, we talked about this meme the other day, you know, from Mad Men where it's like, I think blah, blah, blah about you. And then Don Draper going, I don't think about you at all. There's a little bit of that happening with Melbourne, Adelaide.
Yeah, and it's like it's like a 45-minute flight away. Like, it's so, you know what I mean? It's not like the other, like having this like, oh, yeah, over there they do it like this. It's like, it's so close. And also, I would argue, Adelaide is almost becoming more hipster than Melbourne.
Yes.
In the style of venue that's here, like the cool little like wine bars and all that kind of stuff that's popping up.
Yeah.
I wish we had stuff like that in Melbourne.
Yeah, it's great. I really like Adelaide. So there was a bunch of... what I'm loving is the you find out the feelings towards Melbourne in here. Because I'm fishing, I'm in there going, I'm from Melbourne, I'm a big man.
Yep.
And then they say, this guy Toby, I thought Melbourne style, because I'm asking for Melbourne style burgers.
Yep.
I thought Melbourne style was not washing your hands before you made the burgers.
Huh.
is that us?
Is that based on like us having been in lockdown because of so many COVID cases?
I've got no idea.
That's me being generous. If I was to, you know,
you're putting a lot of thought into
if
that.
If I was trying to pick where that comes from,
are we dirt town?
Well, maybe.
Are we yucky?
I mean, we were like the most locked out. You know, every other city, I think, when all that was going on, was like, look at that. Full of disease down there.
But I thought we would. Yeah, I think we would go crazy looking into that too hard. I just think that's such a funny, just like, yeah, they're dirty over there.
They stink.
They're idiots, and so they're full of mud.
Yeah.
Which is great. What else? Yeah, just a lot of like, yeah, we don't like Victorians. Nathan says, we're lucky enough over this way to have fresh produce. So no need to settle for Melbourne-style burgers. So we're not fresh. chips are still called chips, but we use actual potatoes. So it might be a shock. But trust me, once you've had real potato, you never go back to that powdered shit again.
Powdered?
We eat powdered chips, apparently. Yeah. There is certainly a different etiquette required when this far west. We use, maybe hard to pronounce, please to request an item from a vendor and the phrase thank you to signify gratitude once you've received the item. Strange, I know.
I also love this far west. Over here in the west.
How's this? A lot of places have indoor toilets, but like a lot of places. So not everywhere.
Not everywhere.
A lot of places have indoor toilets, but unlike your familiar stomping ground, we prefer things a little bit more spread out so the shitter isn't just an extension of the kitchen.
Mm,
wow.
Yucky.
Wow. We just shit in the oven.
Yeah.
Back over east.
Yep.
Sing out if you have any other questions, as I'm sure you'll be able to find someone to help again. I know. Strange. So we're rude. We shit in the fucking microwave.
Yep.
We don't even have an actual potatoes.
But then,
fuck,
you know,
idiots.
We're saying this like, oh, yeah, isn't it wild what they think of us? But then anyone from Adelaide listening to how we carried on in this live episode,
yes,
you'd be completely vindicated.
Yes.
Like, yeah,
but
I knew it.
We're being silly. We're being very, very silly. But these people like have fucking, God, I don't know, Melbourne fucking touched them when they were kids or something.
Yeah.
One last one, I think. Yes, Peter says, yes, Melbourne. The place where you can't tell if they're saying Mel or Mal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. They use processed meat in their lamb kebabs and they call chicken parmigiana a parma, even though it's spelt parmi.
Uh-oh.
Not to mention how it takes 2 hours to drive about 15K down the ring road all to Monash.
That's fair.
Our
traffic does suck. That's fair.
I'm so jealous of such an amazing place. I'm not sure if I'll drive 20 minutes to the beach or 20 minutes to the hills today. Maybe I'll pop down to McLaren Vale and stop at a couple of breweries or a burger joint on the way there, all under an hour tops. Fucking hell.
That all is completely fair, I will say.
I don't.
It does rule here. Like 15 minutes out of the city, you're in like the most beautiful, like, you know, scenery you can possibly get.
Yeah.
This guy's hit the nail on the head.
Well,
get him in.
Well, again, like, it's great. What's this guy? Yeah. Hugh says, just enjoy not getting stabbed for a few days.
Oh.
Is this Melbourne or Hell's Kitchen that we live in?
Yeah, and also, I mean, I would say that rough end of Hindley Street is, like, at least as bad, if not worse, than any of the seedier parts of the
Melbourne. Oh, absolutely.
CBD.
Where I just stayed, fucking hell, it's as bad as anywhere in Melbourne. But, yes, look, I love their passion, their pride in the burgers over here, and they got good burgers as well.
Yeah.
I think I might go, because he was the nicest to me. Shout out to Stax.
Yep.
Burger, which I think is renowned as
one of the best.
The best, if not one of the... Yeah,
okay.
One of the best. So I might go there today. I have been there before and they were excellent.
Okay.
It was good. Very popular place.
Let's get going.
Yes,
Patreon.com/LittleDumDumClub. If you want to support the show, if you enjoy getting it for free every week, chuck us a few bucks. We really appreciate it. And in return, you get 2 bonus mini episodes every week in the inbox. There's a few hundred on there. Huge backlog for you to get stuck into if you sign up now. And also, you go into the draw to get your name read out and immortalized at the end of a podcast.
And here we go. Thank you very much to Patreon subscribers. Subscriber this week, first cab off the rank, Penny Carrington.
Penny Carrington.
Love it. Penny.
Not bad.
Someone called Penny listening to this show fills me with some joy.
My friend's dog is called Penny.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Someone thinks they're... Oh, no. I was going to say, someone thinks they're Inspector Gadget, but that wasn't the dog, was it? That was the girl.
That was the girl.
What was the dog? Brains. Brain.
Brain, I think, Brain. Yeah. I was going to say Brian, but that's Family Guy.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we should mention what didn't make it in the episode. I had this idea to do, because I talked last year about going to see the Strip Simpsons show.
Yes.
And I was going to say,
Which
is on again this year.
Yeah.
Go check it out. It was great.
You should explain it. People won't be able to know what's going on. It's the Simpsons. But in the nude.
Yeah, you get to see Bart's little dicky.
Yeah, you get to see Maggie's clunge.
Maggie not getting a look in. Sexy Flanders getting a look in.
Oh, yeah.
What else? Smithers.
Yeah.
Someone does the, like, Edna Krabappel when she's got the balloons and she's, like, popping.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that. I'm sure we talked about this last year, but Lisa?
Yeah, there's a bit of Lisa. Yep.
Who's in the show is 10 years old, maybe?
I don't know if the Lisa gets nude, though. Right. I don't think... I think there's a person that is, like, dressed as her, but I don't think there's any strip tease of that nature.
But Bart, yes?
There's a thing of Bart where it was like a lady playing him, much like on the actual show.
Yes.
And she had like a little fake dick at one point, I think, from memory.
That's great.
Anyway, so I talked about that. It's back this year. Go check it out if you're in Adelaide. And I was going to set up on the show that I've seen an even better show this year, sort of in the same vein, Strip Family Guy.
Yes.
And I managed to get one of the performers to come down here and give us a little taste.
Yes.
And then the Family Guy theme was going to start up and Nick Carr would come out dressed as Peter Griffin.
Yes.
And get his kid off.
So that happened after the show.
Well, I talked to Nick Carr. I went down to Target and bought basically a tent.
Yes.
For him to wear as a Peter Griffin costume, a big white shirt.
Yep.
And, you know, then we got stuck into all the stuff about gay sex and it just completely slipped my mind.
Yep.
And I got to the end as we were wrapping up and I was like, oh, fuck. He's just been sitting back there for the last hour.
Yep.
Waiting to come out.
Yep.
And so he did it as like a little, I guess, encore.
Yes.
At the end of the show.
Yes, you mentioned
it. So people in the room got to see it and
it was quite
people
fun.
At home got spared from hearing it, which yes. I think is the perfect outcome, really.
It is. Yeah. It is. And so people, it went, I think you guys would have been frustrated in the room listening to a man take his clothes off.
Yep.
But that happened. It was very funny. Nick was very funny doing it. And people probably went to his show, I think, off the back of it. But what's funny is... at the start, before we started, as people came in, as Brett Blake came in, he saw that giant shirt, and not trying to be funny, that 5XL giant white business shirt, just saw it sitting there and just looked at me and went, is Nick Carr coming today? Just not trying to take the piss, just like putting, just joining the dots.
Not trying to be funny, just like, oh,
yep.
This makes sense.
That's the only person I know that would wear that.
Yep.
Funny. But Penny,
so thank you to Nick Carr for sitting
sitting
so patiently backstage for such a long time.
Yes. Well, I think plenty of listeners came to his show. I think he sold out. So his room was nearly as big as his shirt. But Penny Carrington, I love it. A penny listening to the show, and I've just checked, I believe, first ever penny
really?
To subscribe.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're listening right now and your name's Penny and you're like, what the fuck? I listen. Mm. Well, you know, you could have been the first penny subscriber, but there is a chance for you to be the second.
Yeah.
You can still be on the dais, the second penny subscriber. Or if, you know, there's a couple of you, fucking, you know, fill the dais.
Yep.
I would love to get 2 penny subscribers this week. Mm-hmm. It's, please. I would love that.
If we could get into next week's ep, having 3 pennies that listen.
I will, if you subscribe this week and your name's Penny, I will fast track you. Into next week's.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I'll do it.
It'd be great if we could get an all penny week.
Oh.
Get on it, everyone. Everyone's going to get fast tracked who signs up this week if their name's Penny.
Yes.
And then next week, 5 pennies.
Yes.
Or however many we end up doing.
The more pennies we read out, the more pennies we're getting.
Exactly. Tell me. Beautiful.
Monetarily.
Yep.
Pretty good.
Thanks, Penny.
Thanks for your pennies. As I drink a caramel milk tea.
You had a pretty small sip. I would say you had maybe a penny's worth
of
that bubble tea.
You don't know how much I paid for that.
If you break it down.
Yeah. Thanks, Penny. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber, Rochelle Hamer.
Rochelle Hamer.
Let's say, I reckon I've got it there, but it's R-A-S-C-H-E-L-L-E H-E-Y-M-E-R.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Rochelle Hamer.
Hamer.
Hmm.
I can't... Now I just want to guess how much you did pay for that bubble tea.
Yep.
I mean, I never have them, so I'm at a disadvantage here because I don't know typically what the going rate is.
Yep.
But it's a pretty big one.
Yep.
I'm going to say $7.
I think it just came in a tick under. I think it might have been $6.30.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, a tick under to me would be $6.90.
Oh, yeah. I like that. That reminds me of what we should be doing, given what we told the receptionist.
How is it?
Yeah, it's all right.
How is your Gongcha bubble tea.
I was going so hard on the bubble teas for, I think that was part of the lockdown schism. I just really got into the milk teas there for a while.
Yeah, right.
And I've been weaning myself off them, so this is a bit of a rare one.
I'm not into them, but what I do like about them, I like that fucking big old straw that you get.
Yes.
I love that fucking huge straw.
Yes.
And I love a sealed up lid that you just get to
right.
smash your straw through.
Yeah, yeah,
no
yeah.
designated little flap like on a traditional lid.
Yeah.
You just get to like forge your own path.
We talked about
everything
this.
Else about it, not into.
Right.
Those two elements
yeah.
I love.
Yeah.
Wish they existed in other drinks.
I don't like the fact that I'm generally lining up behind a couple of 14-year-old girls to, yep. to buy this
milk
tea.
You don't like that.
No.
I wish you could get... This would be a good idea for a store. Why can't you get a why can't you get like a post-mix Coke that's served to you bubble tea style?
Yes.
They factory seal the lid.
Yep.
You get to smash through it
yeah.
with a straw that's just like fucking 8 inches in diameter.
That's
just
a
fucking monster straw.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we're all going to have to go to these paper straws that suck, that do not do the job,
yep.
the least you could do is make them fucking big and thick.
Yeah. Well, that's a paper one.
Yeah.
That's all right. It's doing the job. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But like I said the other way, I generally don't like straws, but I will make an exception for this.
For the bubble tea.
Mm.
Yeah. For slurping those big gooey bits of shit that are in there.
Well, I don't get the gooey bits of shit. I don't get the balls. I don't get any of that shit. Yeah.
Well, so you just, what is this then? You're just having a milk tea?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's cold. And it's.
So wait, you line up at the bubble tea place and you're like, one bubble tea, hold the bubbles.
No. But then, is that what they. I guess, is that what they count as bubbles, even though they're not bubbles?
Yeah, that's the little, like, yeah, the little bits. That's a bubble tea.
Well, they don't come with it because they say they're add-ins.
Mm.
So, if they're calling that bubble tea, that seems a bit ingenuous.
Well, but so what is that? What did you order?
The caramel milk tea. That's all it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you don't say... hold the bubbles.
Yeah.
They just can't, they go, do you want anything else in there? And I'm like, no.
Right.
Because I actually hate it when you get those like mix-ins in there because you're drinking and all of a sudden your fucking straw gets blocked by a big fucking ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so, it's infuriating.
Well, this is, you could just get this at Starbucks.
Possibly, yeah. I'm not saying that you can't.
I feel like I've been lied to.
No, yeah,
here
I am
thinking you're drinking a bubble tea. Slurping down those little nuggets in there.
No.
You're just having a fucking frappuccino.
Look, the deal wasn't like, it's all not all hinging on bubbles existing. It's like, it's basically, what I'm doing is I go to those shops to get these things because it reminds me of Thailand when you're there, they're getting like a Thai tea there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they're the same deal.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing. So I'm not like, where's my fucking bubbles?
Where's
I'm like,
I
want to pretend I'm in Chewing Beach for 5 seconds.
I'm cosplaying.
I can't drink a Singer at 10:30 a.m. in Adelaide, so I'll do the next best thing. I'll drink one of these.
I mean, you could if you wanted.
Yeah, I think you could, actually. But Rochelle.
Yep.
I reckon that's the classiest. Like, Rochelle, I'm sorry, but Rochelle's a bit of a, sort of a bit of a dead shit girl name. But this is, I think, but this is the best way you can do it. The best spelling. Rashelle. That's good.
Yeah.
I think.
Rochelle.
The best way you could possibly.
Yeah.
You're making a silk purse.
Or is it even more
bogan? Silk purse out of a sow's ass.
Rochelle already a bit bogan and then you've like sort of misspelled it. So is that like ultra bogan?
Yeah. But you've misspelled it in the best possible
way. You've made it better.
The other
way is the misspelling.
Yeah. If you can spell Rochelle in a better way than that, I'd like to fucking see it.
Mm.
Yeah. So, you know, credit where it's due. You've done well. Given limited
you know
base.
What? Have we ever floated this idea? I was telling you yesterday about how my fiancé is a big fan of the show Love is Blind, which some people have probably watched, the Netflix reality dating show. People go on like dates, but they can't see each other. They're just talking, and so it's like all based on just like truly like vibing out with each other.
Yep.
What about we do a version of that, but it's even it's even further stripped back. It's like you literally just get a list of names and then you choose who you want to get married to based on their name.
Yes.
You get no other information about them.
Yeah. it's so close to what we do already.
A rose by any other name. And it's like, here she is, Rochelle Hamer.
Fuck.
Oh my God, she's beautiful. I knew it.
You know what? If we had done this a few weeks ago, you know what I would have built up to? Episode 700, I will reveal. I'll go through the UTA findings.
Mm.
I will find the most attractive name we've ever read out.
Go
back through the catalogue. Do 1, 2, 3. Maybe I'll do that in a few weeks or something.
Yeah, let's do it at a live one. Let's start to do some countdowns of hottest names.
All right. one of the Melbourne Live ones. Let's do a reveal of the top three best, sexiest names.
Yep.
And the bottom three worst names.
Uggos.
Yeah. The ugliest names.
The ugliest
that
names.
Have ever subscribed to this show.
Yep. And hey, maybe we get lucky and we find out that in the room we have one of the hotties and we also have one of the uggos.
We
can set them up.
Names are blind.
Yep. This is actually good. This is because, like, you know, Love is Blind, the idea of it is based on...
Names is blind.
The other, like, Love is Blind is based on the idea that, like, these other dating shows, like, they just don't work. They're too superficial. We've got to strip it back. And I love the idea that even Love is Blind gets to that point. You know, it's like, this is too, you know, it's all too complicated. It's all too, like, superficial. Yeah. You know, people get into the idea of someone's voice and how they sound.
Yeah.
You know, we really need to strip people back to just their core essence.
Yeah.
The name that they were given at birth.
Well, thanks, Rochelle. You know, you're in the running. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber, Jeremy Fry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, look, let's get that out of the way. Futurama, there's a guy called Fry in there.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that...
There's a guy called Fry.
Isn't there?
It's the main character.
Yeah, right. if that didn't happen, is that a cool name or not, Fry?
I always liked the name... Yeah, I always thought it was cool that he was called Fry in the show. And then it's kind of funny. I don't know what point it comes up, but it's like, oh, it's his last name.
Yeah.
How very Australian of them.
Right.
Everyone in that show is just referring to each other as their last names.
Oh, right. Fry, yeah, look, Fry, that would be annoying, I think, to have Futurama existing and have those references. Because apart from that, it's like, man, there's enough going on. Chips are called fries.
Mm.
You know, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, either way, I like it as a surname.
Mm.
Jez Fry.
Yeah.
It is a bit like, it's pretty like unevenly weighted. Quite long first name, very short condensed surname.
What would you rather go with? And I'm sure we must have talked about this before, but if you needed, would you rather have three syllables in your first name and one in the last, or vice versa?
Vice versa.
Really?
Yeah.
So you would rather be
Fry Jeremy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, I don't know. It does something about. I feel like the surname should be longer. For sure.
Yeah. Look, that's the traditional way.
Mm.
This is where we all should have always ended up. Actually doing a thesis doing a thesis on how names work. This is what we've got to. Like, we've been talking about it for so long. We should write a thesis on the perfect, like, you know, you get those news items that come out on Associated Press. They'll go, yeah, there's always, every single day there's a study. I work at the project, and that's so much of it is like you're combing through the news and finding there's a study from Minnesota where it says if you wash your hands before bed, you will get a better sleep.
You're like 80% more. I love seeing them because I'm always like.
There's three a day at least.
But I'm always like, this isn't. The actual result of the study isn't, that's not the headline to me. The headline is, who did this and why? Who was inspired to go, you know what, we got to find out what effect there is, if any, on washing your hands before bed.
Yeah. So we need to get funded.
And then how do you line that up?
Like, we need to get funded. We need to be University of Dum Dum. We're finding out the best possible name. Syllables for your first name and your second name. What's the best combination of names?
We do need something to legitimize this hour that we spend every week.
Yeah.
Because it is truly pathetic how much time we spend sitting around just talking about people's names.
Yes.
So, like, at this point, I mean, you can't even really make the argument that this is part of the job.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of is, but also it could not exist, and I think the difference would be negligible.
Yes.
I don't think anyone would drop off the Patreon because they're like, well, if they're not reading the names out, I'm out.
Yeah. I don't think we'd even get a post in one of our Facebook groups about it.
Wondering about it. Yeah. If anything, it might go up.
There'd be one in like 10 years' time going, whatever happened to Talking Dum Dum when they did the names?
Right.
That would be it.
Right.
But I love the studies that go there every day. If you keep an eye on it, like I said, that's so much part of finding like stories for the project. You go through the internet finding things that have happened that day in these studies and whatever. But it's just like this revolving lineup of news stories. It'll be like this. It'll be one day. It'll be like, yeah, scientists have proven, you know, drinking coffee during the day helps you sleep at night.
You know,
and
what,
the next day,
you know,
it's the exact opposite.
Oh, right.
Results of the studies.
You know what? There's a lot of that. Me and my fiance share back and forth with each other. Dogs. They are always doing studies about the effect of dogs on the human brain. Oh, you sleep 30% better if your dog is cuddled up next to you.
Oh,
you're 80% likely to have less stress if you hug your dog for 15 minutes every day. And brother, I cannot get enough of these stories. Every time I read a new story about how much loving your dog is better for you, you'd better believe the great man is getting a big old hug and a thank you.
Right.
Thank you, Cupy. Thank you for lowering my stress.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of, and you know, these universities that pump these stories out and whatever, they're trying to justify their funding and all that sort of stuff. But I'll tell you who, there's always a fucking odd spot story about some cunt in Minnesota winning the fucking lottery.
Oh, yeah.
And whatever happened to him that day.
Oh,
it's
right.
Like there's always someone, it's so hard to get a story on the project about some weird lottery winner. Like, I don't even try anymore. Like,
yeah,
that's part
right.
of the job. You're like, hey, what about this? This could be a good chat.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about this lottery winner. It's like, fucking every day, some cunt is winning the lottery. And then it's like, oh, and you know what's funny about him winning the lottery? He actually dropped his Coke that day. So it's quite ironic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just, something else happened to him that day as well, apart from winning a lot of money.
Life's all pretty random.
Yeah.
We better move on, but
yes,
just quickly before we do, why don't we just practice this this great new format? Jeremy Fry, hottie or notty? I reckon he's hot.
Me too.
Hot name, I should say.
I would say the Fry. That's how I'd refer to him if I knew him.
Frenchie.
The Fry.
Frenchie.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. No, the Fry.
Chip.
I would say Fry's doing so much of the heavy lifting. I don't particularly like Jeremy as a first name.
Okay.
But with the Fry added, I quite like it as a whole.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm picturing, as a whole, I'm picturing like a, yeah, I'm picturing a pretty like built, chiseled guy.
Yeah.
Weirdly.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, he's listening to and subscribes to this, so that cannot be the case.
Yes.
But
yes,
it's just taking the name at face value, ironically enough.
Don't ugly show me our listeners. They don't like it. There's plenty out there that think they're fucking 11s that still listen to it.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. If I was an 11, I wouldn't fucking listen to any podcast. I'd be out there.
What would you be listening
just
to?
Just getting sucked off
24/7.
But thanks, Jeremy Fry.
Thanks, Jez.
Yep.
Thanks, Jezza.
Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber David Evans. Boom. Line and length. Five letters.
I hate to say it.
Five letters each name.
Not a hottie.
Not a hottie.
Not a hot name.
Well, it's a real 6 out of 10 name, so I can't help but think it's a real 6 out of 10 person.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you do?
Yeah, I'm getting little weasel man. Weasel man energy from this name.
I would say, look, you were born, your slave name was Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
You're now a Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Not really a Tom, just a Tommy.
Yeah. Well, generally, if I'm meeting someone, I'll introduce myself as Tom.
Oh, will you?
Yeah.
Okay. David. If you were a David, would you go with Dave or would you stick with David?
That's tough. That is really tough.
I'd be like everyone in comedy and go with Dave. Is there many Davids in comedy? They're all Daves. There's not many Davids. I think it's pretty rare.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Everyone pretty much goes with the abbreviation. It does.
You should just like any
feels a lot
you have
warmer.
Hughesy on at your gig, you should just start billing him as David Hughes,
yeah,
and just see, Just see if he sees the poster on the way in and comments and goes, come on, brother.
You know what? He's the guy. He's a guy that would absolutely not comment on that.
Yeah.
I bet if I did that, I bet he would walk in and not say anything about it. And then you'd have to say, hey, did you think it was funny? I called you David Hughes on the poster. And you go, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
And just like, I got better shit to do than worry about that.
I was walking down Rundle Street last night. It was very busy because it was Saturday night here in Adelaide. And I saw like a bollard thing that had like three of his poster that I think we talked about on this ep.
Yep.
The cartoon drawing of him.
Yes.
And I was about to like squat down and get a photo of myself posing next to this row of cartoon Hughesies. And then because it was so busy, I just got really paranoid that like Hughesy would walk past and see me doing that and be like, what are you doing?
Oh, I messaged him last night because he was doing a show and we were just hanging around and blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, oh, yeah, what the fuck's... He's in town. He'll be around. He'll be looking for something to do. What did I say? We were talking about this last night. Did we work this out? So he goes, he posted a picture of himself. He'd done a sold-out show. And I said, I replied to the story on Instagram. I said, the king is here. He said, where are you guys? I said, we might go to the Rhino. And then he just goes, I'm doing an 11 p.m. show as well. Like, cool. And I said, so, because he's doing a late night show, I said, Snakes Alive never sleeps.
Mm.
As in, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that time of night. And then he replies, Eras Tour. Which I was like, I don't know what that means.
Well, we were saying maybe he's talking about because that's such an old bit of his, and that's the conceit of that Taylor show, is that she goes through every chunk of her life and career is kind of like divided up in the concert.
Oh, is that what that means?
I think maybe that's what he's making a joke, like the idea of him doing the Eras show where he's like,
yeah,
he opens up with Snakes Alive and then he like brings you up to, and you know, he's going back and he's doing material about, oh, I just met this hot girl called Holly.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing all
I like that.
He's doing the bit where he's like, you know, he's on his honeymoon with his new wife and, you know, she's beautiful and he's in Africa together and, you know, people are looking at her being stunning and looking at him being him.
You're right.
And just him being able to just see the look on people's faces of like, how the fuck did this happen?
Yeah.
And he's like, I just wanted to say to them, it's because I'm Hughesy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, that's good shit.
That's good.
That's good shit.
Well, that's good. That's a good joke that he said that. I didn't understand. I didn't understand that. So that's good now. I just thought it was a very weird thing to say, which I equally enjoyed then.
Can we ask him to come and do a live pod in Melbourne and ask him to do a mini Hughesy Eras tour? Get him to just do... like maybe four little things from like, you know, moments of his.
I remember, have you ever heard this story? We've got to wrap this up very soon, but I remember there's the story, and we've talked to him about this before, but the story is that people try to inspire people doing comedy like early on is that, you know what? There was this guy who fucking sucked at comedy.
Yep.
He was fucking shit ass. Everyone laughed at him and was like, this guy sucks. And then something switched and he became Hughesy. But he, like, you say this to Hughesy and he's like, I was never that fucking shit. I don't really like that.
It's real like, yeah, it's real like Peter Parker is this mild-mannered, weedy little
kid. Yeah, puny, no one liked him. Puny Parker.
And then he got bitten by a radioactive comedy.
Yes.
He became Hughesy.
Yes. That's the story
With
of Hughesy.
Great power comes great responsibility.
I don't think he sees it that way, but everyone's like, yeah, yeah. And there's obviously a lot of mayo in that story. It's like, yeah, this guy was the worst comic ever. But I do remember people saying, like, what his material was like, and it was like about fucking glassing someone and like all this like pretty rotten gear, and then all of a sudden he's the switch has flicked and he's gone, oh yeah, people fucking really don't like that.
Yeah.
He's figured out how to do comedy properly, and it's a bit of an overnight fucking success story. But if you ever talk to Hughes, you'll hear him talk about it. Like he was so fucking dedicated to it, and he'd work, you know, was a hard worker on it.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, well, I guess if you do that, you are going to fucking work it out. But,
yeah.
But yeah, the stories are his gear was pretty fucking rotten. So I'd love to hear some real rotten stuff on that era.
We go rotten gear, then we go errors, then we go, we go Snakes Alive.
Yes.
Then we go, maybe like when he first met his wife, early kid stuff, present day.
Yeah. Yep. I like that. All right.
I like that it's. I like that the way it's plotted out is these like big life moments. Marrying is, you know, meeting the love of his life, having the joy of children come into his life, but then also in that segment is snakes alive.
Yes. Yes. Like that's a moment in itself.
That's a moment in his
yeah,
life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's Hughie's 9/11.
That's Hughie's.
But like
yeah.
the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like Taylor Swift dating Jake Gyllenhaal and him stealing her sweater and never giving it back or whatever.
Right.
That's snakes alive.
Yes. That's good. Thank you, David Evans.
Thanks, Dave Evans.
Let's just do one more and then we have to...
Yeah, skedaddle.
Then we have to go.
By the way, packed green room before this show that people just heard.
Oh, yeah.
Like 20 of us in there.
That's right.
We had a few people, a few friends in town who came to hang out.
Yes. And, well, I mean, you just heard there was three guests plus two people backstage on the mic plus someone... about to pretend to be Peter Griffin.
Yep.
Plus other people. And then, yeah, that's a lot of people screaming at each other, being overly excited to be all together at once
yeah.
and just
yeah, yeah.
fucking yelling at each other.
Yeah.
Which is very fun. All right. So let's just do one more.
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay, this is fortuitous timing. We could have brought this up before. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber, Comedy Burger.
Oh.
Oh, a local business here in Adelaide where, let me just look it up. They say, oh, wow, it's a Melbourne-style burger restaurant just in Adelaide.
I have a sneaking suspicion we would have read this name out last year.
Well, I hope not. Well, if it's better than this, patch it in.
I'd be shocked if we didn't.
Comedy Burger, it says here it's Melbourne themed, and so you can. They specialise in powdered chips.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's nice.
Powdered
just,
comedy,
just like Mama Burger used to make
yeah,
back
yeah,
home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the toilet is like in the sink in the kitchen.
Okay.
So you just walk into the kitchen and
cool.
piss and shit directly in the sink. That's cool.
We should go there for a little. I am getting a bit homesick.
Yeah.
It's been nearly 24 hours. Yeah. Maybe we should go there for lunch after we do this episode.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Let's go there. Comedy right. Burger. Shout out, you know, guys. Hey, get in there.
Get around it.
If you're
support,
in Adelaide.
Yeah, support local
support,
business.
Support local business yeah. and supports us.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for subscribing on Patreon, littledumdumclub.com for links to that and for tickets to all the live stuff we have coming up. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. See you, mate.